is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Well, as the voice of Anna DeMontis, Anna and Roe were at the Zanies in Rosemont last night.
Good show.
Yeah, we had a good time. There was a, you know, there was a couple right up front, and they couldn't have been nicer. They knew more about this show than I did, and I'm here every day. There was a woman there that got a WGN tattoo on her forearm after I came back, and she started to believe in the radio station again when we made all the changes in there.
Was it a real tattoo, or was it a temporary tattoo?
No, she inked it up, baby.
Ooh.
So, we'll talk more about that later, but thanks. And Sandberg came out looking fabulous. She brought some old guy. A guy named Pat? I don't know who he is.
Oh, I've heard of him, yeah.
And he was all over. I mean, that dude.
Handsy.
What paws on that guy.
I thought you were going to say he's all over you.
Dave Ennett was out with his hot date.
Oh, yes, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife.
So, thanks for coming.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Enjoyed
you were going to come out, but you were dragging your butt back from Iowa.
Yeah, I was driving back from Iowa.
So we had a good time, but more about that later as we go on and on about things, because that's what I do. Before we do that, though, I'm not able to speak to this for obvious reasons. So let me bring in my publicist, John Miller.
I just want to say the show last night was fantastic. The show was terrific, and Steve is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Back to you, Steve.
So he'll occasionally appear on the show. My publicist, John Miller. It's not me. I mean, obviously.
No.
It's not
well,
me.
Of course not.
It,
didn't
it
sound like
you.
So, all right. What do you, Paul, in here? All right. Here we go. Yeah. Monday morning. Am I the only one that has a job where I look forward to Mondays?
I like Mondays. I don't mind Mondays anymore.
I like Monday through Friday. Pretty good.
And you like the weekends too?
Yeah, most of the time. Oh, this weekend. Oh, man. Paul Conrad's here. Paul, you're a golfer.
Yeah, boy, and I stink.
Oh, dude. Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
So we had a 2-day tournament this weekend.
Ooh, congratulations.
No, that's not the good part.
All right.
There is no good part. On Saturday, where the temperature was.
Oh, yeah.
The wind chill was. Perfect. We were weather, man. What was the wind chill? 35?
37 at one point.
37.
Yeah.
And that was probably the high for the day.
Right.
I had no feeling in my fingers.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and my toes and various other important parts of me.
Yeah.
So that was a bad day. So
So
I go out yesterday, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Much better.
It was not warm, but compared to Saturday, it was fantastic, right?
Sure, yeah. But still.
First hole yesterday.
Yep.
Pumped 2 out of bounds, made a 10.
Woo!
First hole.
You got to get off on
first
the right
hole,
foot.
I made a 10, an 8, a 7, and a 6 in
You're
my first
going
ten
in the
holes.
Right direction.
The only thing I was missing was a 9 to complete the whole set.
Yeah.
I am telling you, I can't play that badly, and yet I did. People were coming out of their homes, Paul. They were demanding
booing?
I leave.
Yeah.
Children are coming out.
Throwing stuff at you.
Children are crying.
Mm-hmm.
Children are lining the fairways and crying, go, Mommy, make him stop golfing.
You suck.
So I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. But clearly I need to quit the game.
Yeah.
What? Clearly, I need to quit the game.
You sure do.
Can we play before you do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
It's just awful. Awful. I don't know.
Yeah. You're golfing.
What do you mean?
There are worse things, like sitting at your kid's track meet for 2.5 hours on a Saturday with the wind chill in the 30s.
How long was it?
Like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, you're right. That is worse. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
At one point, I decided I can't handle it anymore. I'm getting in on the race.
You actually got up and ran?
Yeah.
Now, what event was it?
It was that or die.
What event did you enter?
I believe it was the 1600.
And
how'd you? Mile?
I came in like 18th out of 12.
Out of 12.
But I felt better.
Because you got your blood flowing.
And I was lapped a couple of times by the guy in the front, but... You know, I got my heart rate up, and my I could start feeling my arms again.
Here's the sad thing. One of the kids in the race was actually one of the kids from the neighborhood that was traumatized by my golfing. He got his parents to take him to the track.
I heard somebody yelling.
And then Paul was chasing him on the track.
Right.
Mommy, why are the people hurting me today? Is that your entire weekend? You just did the track meet?
No. I believe my math may not be correct on this, but I think there were 6 baseball games, a softball practice, and a track tournament. So it was unbelievable.
We only would have had 48 children.
It was a mistake. I should have stopped likely after 0, but you go with what's in front of you.
Yes, and if it's a naked woman, that's your problem.
and hers.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, listen. You couldn't be more thankful for what's in front of you.
Yeah, because here's the problem.
A lot worse situations.
Here's the problem. If we sum this up, okay. You were cold because of your beautiful children.
Right.
And I was playing golf with pals. Do we really have any problems?
No.
No.
Life couldn't be better.
We have no problems.
Except your golf game sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, it's just terrible.
You know what you should take up? You should take up the 1,600-yard or foot, whatever distance that was. Is that 1,600 feet or yards?
You know what I would do? It's actually
steps.
Yards. You know,
yards?
Yards. That's meters, actually. I would just wait at the finish line.
Yep.
Start-finish line. I would just back up three steps and just wait for the kids to
right.
come close and run across. Why run the whole race?
And let me tell you, at like the 800-step point, I had to put my cigarettes down. I got it on the way back.
You got to carry the bottle of hooch in the other hand.
That I did not see coming.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Not easy stuff.
All right, what's on TV today?
Oh, you know, the same old, same old.
All right, if you're looking for the same crap, you turn on Channel 9 this morning.
Yep, we're piling it on thick today.
Thick crap this morning on Channel 9.
Crap fest on the old number 9 from until 10 a.m.
All right, I hope the fine people all the way up to Larry Word are listening, because you're not getting this kind of plug from anybody else.
That is right. They're moving me into the promotions department after this.
Same crap, different day, right. 5 to 10. 4 to 10.
4 to 10, yeah, it doesn't stop.
Yeah,
just pile it on thick.
Hey, Lourdes is going to be in here later, I hear.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me just say this real quickly.
Oh, no.
She very well may be one of the nicest and more normal people that has ever worked in the TV news business.
And can we agree? Muy caliente.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Thought there was going to be a butt when Paul said.
No butt.
No, her butt's muy caliente as well.
Yeah.
All right, you got to go do
something. I got to go to HR now.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Man to Paul Conrad.
Lourdes has two cover stories this week.
Oh, that's what she's coming to do.
Two stories. Yeah, one's about recycling, and the other she'll talk about as well. It's kind of a sad story, but she'll talk about it.
I told Lourdes she's always welcome on this show, and then I got in my car and I went, why would I say that to anyone?
It's just because Lourdes has a big crush on you.
No.
Yeah, she always goes, oh, Steve.
No, keep talking about it. No.
She does. She got a thing for you.
6:16. Mary's back. How was your weekend, right?
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Anything special? Because we're not used to you being positive.
Running around. Yesterday, there was a lilac parade in Lombard. Judy Pilak was doing the
Pilak was at the lilac?
Yes. Pilak at the lilac, and she had the purple on.
She did the commentary.
Well, I think it was for Comcast. But, I tried to find her. Couldn't find her because she was surrounded by people.
She the most famous person in Lombard, Julie
Pretty
Pilak?
Much. Her and the mayor, yeah. Yeah. Pilak covers that town. She's everywhere in Lombard.
I mean, Lombard's got to upgrade.
Yep. But it was cold there, too. It was really cold.
Yeah.
Really cold.
But again, we don't have any problems. Listen, this is all material.
That's
all.
True.
Exactly.
Is that one of Lourdes' stories?
That's Lourdes' story, yeah. She's going to tell us all the ins and outs of recycling and some things you may not know where your recycling is supposed to go.
So basically the theory or the allegation is that the city's picking up the recycling and then they're just commingling it and dumping it with the rest of the trash.
That could be.
Are they...
like my team.
Are you guys charged for recycling?
Well, our building, actually my building, never had a recycling program, but I'm an avid recycler.
How can you not have a recycling
program? It was awful. We tried for years to get a recycling program. The blue bins, many of the apartments and a lot of the condos...
But you're in a building that's, what,
homes.
5 years old?
It's about 10 years old.
Okay.
We've been trying for years to get a recycling program. So what I would do, because I'm, as I said, a very avid
You're a community organizer.
Yeah, so I would take everything, every couple of days, I would go to the park, and they have all the blue bins lined up at the park.
Wow.
And the city is supposed to pick
those
up.
Well, that's very generous of you.
Yeah, the city is supposed to pick those up, but are they? You know, there were reports of people saying, well, I saw the garbage truck come by and just dump all the recycling into the garbage. So I'm glad she did this
investigation. Well, on top of that being, you know, it's not ethical. It's not ethics necessarily. It's just morally wrong on some level. But is there a charge, a fee that people pay in the city for recycling?
It's included either. It depends. Every building sets it up separately. Like it could be included in
your
assessments.
Maintenance
fees. Yeah, exactly. So now we do have a very, it's minuscule, the recycling charge, considering, you know, it's you have to do it.
Yeah, and I know there was some, look, it's very expensive to live in a city, and if you don't want to pay those kind of fees, you probably shouldn't live in the city. There was a big, you know, hue and cry. There's a phrase I've never used on this show. Over whether or not the cost of picking up garbage would go up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it cost too much already and blah, blah, blah. And why should we have to pay for it? You know, it's all part of the city trying to make enough money to pay the bills. In the burbs, and Dave, I don't know what you pay, but in the burbs out west, it ain't cheap.
I mean, no, it's not.
I mean, it's probably, if you take a standard family of four, it's who throws out a certain amount of garbage in a week, it's got to be $20 a month, maybe more. Because it used to be a sticker thing, and now it's a bin thing.
Right, they give you a bin.
They give you these two giant garbage cans, one for recycling and one for garbage.
Yeah, same deal.
But wouldn't you rather pay that kind of a small fee, say $10-$20?
Than getting stickers.
Yeah.
And then twice a month you forget you don't have stickers, and you got to go out and get your stickers. And yeah, I agree. But, you know, it's a couple of $100 or more in the burbs to do it. So get in line, city. Come on, step up.
I agree. So now it's not mandated, but more and more buildings are getting with the program, literally. They're getting recycling programs, which is what our building did about a year
ago. This is my whole thing about climate change. Everybody is talking constantly about climate change. Look, there's no question that we are bad people when it comes to what we do with emissions and the damage we can do to the atmosphere and all of that. There are certain things that can be done, but in the big picture, the amount of energy that it takes to talk about what we're going to do over climate change ought to be pumped back into what our 10-year-olds and our 5-year-olds made us do in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Because Dave and I grew up in an era where people literally would throw trash out of the car window while you're driving down the road. You'd go, that's dumb. But you wouldn't do anything about it.
No.
And then kids started recycling. It probably was the 80s, I guess.
Well, it was.
I would think so. When Earth Day began.
Yeah, the Native American commercial.
Yes, right, with the
tear. Yeah, but it wasn't the 70s. I think it was like the kids in the 80s mm-hmm. in school started pushing.
They became more aware of it.
And they brought it home.
Yes.
And they said, Mom, Dad, how come we don't recycle?
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the recycling things started.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't get a universal recycling program going on, because recycling cuts down on trash, which cuts down on environmental issues as well. In other words, my point is, climate change is something we ought to deal with. But there's a lot of other stuff we need to do and do better as well. So instead of just talking about it and pointing fingers at each other, let's spend money on stuff we can actually fix.
Completely agree. Completely agree. There's no reason not to recycle anymore. It is so convenient.
Right.
And I catch myself. You know, you will have a bottle of water tossed in the trash and think, oh, that could be recycled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole cultural change. But look at the timing we're talking about. It's taken a generation to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still people that don't do it. So everybody's got they're throwing their arms up in the air going, we have to fix climate change. We have to deal with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not wrong from a scientific standpoint. You're wrong from a behavior and a political standpoint, because it literally takes a generation to change behaviors. So we ought to be working on it, but don't expect it to change overnight. As a matter of fact, I want to get Skilling in here. Do you remember a guy named Paul Douglas? Paul's been on the show many times, but Paul is the big shot meteorologist from Minneapolis who was here in mm-hmm. town at Channel 2 for about 3 years at CBS. And Paul was an anti-climate change guy forever. And he now has gone completely in the other direction, has come around to the same side. Skilling fully believes we have a huge problem, we ought to deal with it. But you've got to get everybody to agree. All these countries that have massive manufacturing emissions, like China. You look at the air in China and Beijing. People are choking just getting up and going to work. You got to get everybody to agree it's a problem. So to do that, you have to get the great scientific minds of the world, but then you also have to get the people involved. And if the people don't get involved, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
I don't know the science well enough to know how much damage we're going to do in your lifetime or my lifetime or Abigail Grace, my granddaughter's lifetime. But yeah, we ought to be dealing with it.
Massive
costs. And when you can't agree that everybody ought to not pump crap into the air constantly, how are you going to agree on what the cure is? We can't even get China to show up for meetings.
That's true.
And that's why we need President Trump.
Oh, you were so good.
Yeah,
oh.
I got almost 30 minutes in the show before I started mocking him. 6:28, let's go to my publicist.
Yes, John Miller, I hope you're enjoying the Steve Cochran Show. He'll be back right after this on 720 WGN.
John Acosta, nice job last night at Zanies as well.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
We had our karaoke winner on stage with John, and they sang a little song.
On my upper
she was good.
Lip,
she was good, wasn't she?
Really never good. Seen before.
So John was stressing out. He kind of rewrote the song.
And I wish that there
the
was
song that she did on Friday.
I could call.
And the woman rewrote the lyrics.
The WGN hotline.
Sorry, John.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. How are things at the hospital?
They are great. Busy, but great. So everything's going pretty good right now.
Good. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. I didn't play golf at all.
Me either. 36 holes of it.
You did.
Yeah, no, I thought you were listening because, you know, you're my friend. I played so badly, I'm going into the witness protection program for golf. I mean, it was just inexplicable.
That's not fun.
No. Pumped two balls out of bounds on the first hole and made a 10.
Yeah. See, I'm going to block those thoughts out. I'm going down to Greenville tomorrow to play with our good friend Chris Smith in the web.com, so I'm not going to think about that. So,
yeah, no, you shouldn't. And please tell Chris hello and give him my best.
I definitely will.
All right, so let's talk about this. And I plugged this earlier for a reason. And sorry, I got a throat problem today. Yep. But cell phones and video games. Because I see people of all ages doing this, but here's what we know. Everything's mobile. Kids love the video games. And we've heard for years, Doc, you and I are old enough to go back to a decade we called the 90s.
Yes.
And in the 90s, what did we hear? Ooh, your cell phone. You hold it up your head like that too long, it's going to give you a brain tumor. Oh, yeah, you don't want that radiation next to your head. So then we go hands-free for the majority of us, right, most of the time. Yep. And we're thinking we're okay, but now we're staring at the screens. We stare at the screens all day, every day. What are we doing to kids' brains who are still doing the wiring?
Well, I think the amazing thing, Steve, is that, you know, when you go back to the 90s and say, you know, we had these cell phones, 7-year-olds didn't have cell phones.
Right.
And you look now, it's not unusual to see young kids, whether they're at, you know, at school or wherever they are, but they're sitting there with their phones. And it's amazing that the age that we're putting these devices in these kids' hands, when really we haven't done many long-term studies to see what damage these things could possibly do.
We've got, I just asked Sandberg to run in here because she's got two little kids in her life, and those two little kids are how old?
They are 12 and 9. And
do they have phones?
Yes. And the slew of cousins that we have, like the 2-year-olds hold the phone constantly. When anyone's acting up, you hand out a phone.
It's right.
The
and
best
they look at
silencer
the phone.
There is, yeah.
Right. So, Doc, what do we know about brain wiring? It goes on until they're 20, 21 or you know, years old, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does, you know, especially when we're young. At that time, young, the brain development is very key and very important. So some parts of video games are good, actually. If you play them in moderation and you play the right games, it's going to teach a child how to think and how to act and how to read. But unfortunately, when we look at the health-related things, fortunately, I'll say at first, you know, people have been concerned about brain cancer and can these devices cause cancer? There has been numerous studies, and there continue to be numerous studies, where there's been shown no possibility, chance of that happening. That being said, cell phones have only been around for 20 years.
Right.
So we don't know about these young kids being affected versus what we're doing now is taking individuals, adults with brain cancer and saying, okay, how much time did you spend on the phone? Looking back to see if we can make a correlation. The biggest concern is being going forward. However, the power that we use for cell phones, the radio frequency that we use, has been shown to not make any impact on our DNA, which would change cancer. And there have been lots of studies in mice and rats that have shown that even total exposure, 24 hours a day to one very close, has not made any impact either.
Well, what we do know is it affects behavior. It affects behavior. It affects socialization skills. And I've had this discussion with other adults. Those would be the older people. And the adults who say things like, well, like their generation, they're all going to be doing it. So what? So we're going to have a society of people that don't look at each other when they talk to each other and those sorts of things?
Well, true, Stephen. You know, you talk about socialization. Not only that, kids don't talk on the phone anymore.
Right.
They text. So, you know, the vocal.
It's the least cool thing you can do is talk on the phone if you're a kid.
Absolutely. So, you know, the power of standing in front of, like you're a great public speaker, right? You can stand in front of people and do that. We're going to have kids up there that are going to want to text to people because they,
you know. You have a president in 50 years doing a State of the Union by text.
Yeah.
He's standing in front of the room. He's texting everyone in the crowd.
And it is amazing, too, how many people have what we call text thumb, where they get a tendonitis in their thumb because of how much they're texting, and some video gaming as well. But a lot of texting, even in adults who text a lot, get a text thumb or a text finger, and it's a tendonitis, actually, from overdoing
That's crazy. And now remind me again, 7 and 12 or 9 and 12 for your kids?
9 and 12.
9 and 12. How old are your god kids?
They are 5 and 4.
And you spend tons of time with them.
Oh, I do.
Are they on the phone?
They are not. They know how to take mom's iPad or even the phone, and they swipe, and they know the password. And little Chloe, I love her. She's just, you know, learning numbers and whatnot. Boom, 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 boom. She puts the password in, and she starts playing her games, which is good and bad.
All right, now, admit this. You're babysitting the kids. Do you give them your phone?
I usually don't, because I'm kind of protective about my phone. I don't want them to drop it.
All right, Doc, I have many more questions about this. Can you stick around a second?
Absolutely.
Dr. Kevin Most, you're sponsored by, Doc, I don't know if you know this, fine people at Northwestern Medicine. You know what they do there, Doc? They impact every day.
They're very fine people.
Yeah, they impact every single day. And Doc, since the merger, only wears purple underpants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. All right, Doc, so these kids on their video games, how much time are they spending on them?
Yeah, Steve, that's the amazing thing. When you look at studies, and there's a lot of studies going on about video game usage and how much time and the effects of it. So there are some that say, you know, but on an average, they'll spend 7 hours a week. There's others that have shown that in a higher end, 7 hours, 7.5 hours a day at certain times of the year.
So hold on a second.
That's amazing.
Hold on.
Full-time work.
It's an 8-hour work day on video games?
Yeah, if you think about it, especially like during the summer, kids will play for 3 hours in the morning, go do something, play for another couple, 3 hours in the afternoon, and then play 3 hours at night, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's 9 hours. So the studies have been all over the board.
Well, I got to tell you something. Yeah. I mean, you know what your mom and dad would have said?
Get outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you're letting your kid play video games for 7 hours a day, here's a bulletin. You're the problem.
If I could defend the parents.
7 hours a day?
Well, sometimes you need a break from play with me. Come outside and play with me. Do this with me. I'm bored. And so
when they hit 11, 12, Mayor,
the video
they
game
won't want to be around
little,
you.
A little bit of a nice, for the 9-year-old range, hey, why don't you go downstairs and play NHL 15?
Yeah, look. The same thing was done in, again, a decade we called the 90s, with videos. You'd pop a video in. You pop a video in, you put your kid in front of the TV for an hour, 2 hours. But you don't go, well, thank God I got 8 hours away from the Rugrat. 8 hours is nuts, Doc.
Well, and Steve, you know, you just touched on it, too. Think about when we were growing up, and, I mean, kids listening to this are going to freak out. We had 5 channels.
Yes. Total.
We didn't have 150 channels and DVR and video on demand and all that.
And prior to the 5 channels when Dave was growing up, you actually had an artist in the house that would paint pictures and show them
to the
child.
Yes.
Yeah, like a sketch artist. Hey, Doc, can I ask you, is there any correlation? I know there was the study that you were talking about the 5,000 patients that had brain tumors that did not show a link between phone use and brain tumors. Is that still, I mean, 5,000 doesn't seem like that large of a sampling, but is there definitively no direct link between, and I'm talking adults now, brain tumors and cell phone use?
Correct. There's no link. And 5,000 may seem like a low number, but those are 5,000 people who have brain cancer. So that's a very large number when you look. It was a multi-country study, I think 17 different countries. So it was a large number.
Let me talk about the physical manifestations of this that you can actually see. Here's what we know. If a kid's going to sit around for 7 hours a day and not go outside or not even move around in the house, they're going to be a fat kid. And a fat kid has all sorts of problems that they have to deal with, which are unfortunate and sad and unnecessary. We also know that kids have a huge incidence of type 2 diabetes, like no time that we've ever known before. These both have to be related, don't they, to this?
Steve, it's amazing. You know, in 1980, the obesity rate for children was 6%, and that 6% is one that we could explain. Thyroid issues, diabetes, you know, 6%, okay, we're going to accept that. Now we're approaching 20%. And with that, we are starting to see children now with high blood pressure. We're seeing teenagers with high blood pressure, totally unheard of in the past. Number of kids with type 2 diabetes, which was used to be considered an adult illness,
right,
is now being found in children. It is amazing how much impact this is making.
What about posture and, you know, hurting your back and, you know, the whole thing? Because we've seen studies, too, and people are actually designing office furniture now which will be in a perma-slouch position. Like, you won't have a normal cubicle desk sort of setup. You'll have people, you'll have couches. You'll have couches and loungers all over the place because nobody sits up to work if you're just sitting on your phone or your iPad.
Correct. All of you going to work right now in your cars, you're going to go to your office, and you, hopefully your desk has been ergonomically set up for you so that you're far enough from the screen appropriately, that your hands are at the right level. Now go home and watch what your kids are doing and how they are playing video games. Not unusual now for pediatricians and family docs to have kids come in complaining of back pain. And it's like, what? And
I'm laughing because it sounds ridiculous, but how sad is it that a 12-year-old would come in with back pain and high blood pressure?
Right. But yet it is a reality. I mean, you just look around at kids right now. You're starting to see, like, you know, when we grew up, you used to walk outside in the summer, there'd be two baseball games going on in the street.
Yep.
You know, you walk out now and it's like ghost town. You know, there's nobody out. And it is. It's very sad. And we do have to worry about, you know, some of the long-term problems. Diabetes in adults does cause long-term problems. But we're talking, you know, towards the end of their life, kidney problems, vision problems, blood pressure problems. When you take that at children right now, where you're seeing development of bones, you're seeing development of these organs, and now you're starting to damage them with high blood pressure and high sugar levels, we're going to see some long-term consequences of this sitting around playing video games.
And people know, you know, I mean, people listening now know it's true. You drive into your neighborhood, wherever your neighborhood is, you see kids playing outside, you go, holy cow, there's kids playing outside. You don't even see it anymore. Outside of like an organized activity, like a game where the parents are sitting there or something.
Unless you scare them away when they
or
kick the
unless
ball
I
in
go
yard.
Outside to just say hi and the kids think I'm going to yell at them.
It's true.
But the fact is, kids don't just free play outside anymore. I remember, I've told this story before. I remember Ross being like 10 years old with his buddies. I'm like, well, get out of the house.
Yeah.
Get out. Go play baseball. There's a field across the street. Nobody's using it. Go play baseball. And one of the kids, I love this kid. He's getting married in a couple of weeks. And the kid goes, are we going to have any supervision?
Are we going to have any snacks?
50 yards away.
Yeah, where's the snacks?
And the other kid wanted to bring his cell phone. He was 11. He wanted to bring his cell phone.
We were told, don't come home until the streetlights come on.
Yeah, you came home to eat, and you came home to go to bed.
Right.
Hey, Steve, sometimes you even come home to eat. Your mom would see you at dinner time and say, where'd you have lunch? Oh, you know, we were playing down at Tim's house, and we decided we'd have lunch there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And weren't you saying last week that there were a bunch of kids? You were so glad to see some kids outside playing?
Yes. Yeah, in my neighborhood. There's kids that are outside playing. I'm considering calling DCFS. They're outside playing.
And it wasn't even a play date back then. We would find, you know, raw pasta or hot dogs or something to eat in our friend's fridge.
Yeah, and Mary is the official representative of the millennials here, because you'd speak for them. Mm-hmm. She mocked me last night. I'll tell that story later. But the fact is, this is not a bunch of old people talking about this. You know you have to get physical exercise. Why do you go work out every day?
Oh, because I need the release. Yeah,
and
you
it's
need
good
it.
For you. Mm-hmm. And kids need that.
That's why kids are stressed out.
They're not that good at playing by themselves, though, or just going out and they like to have audiences. Everyone, they watch me do this. Watch me. Like, they like. And then
I wonder where that came from.
You're the bad parents if you're like, you let Patrick take his bike down the street to the neighbor's house on his own. It's like, oh, boy.
Wow. We haven't even touched on the social aspect of it, you know, because that's another big part of it. We talked a little bit about it briefly, but, you know, they've shown that kids that play video game for 1 hour, 1 hour or less a day, they're more socially satisfied than those that don't play at all. So a little bit of use is good. But those who play 3 hours or more, increased hyperactivity, attention issues, depression. I mean, we're talking about big issues here.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And, you know, look, you love your kid so much, you don't want him to get hurt ever, 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 of course. Well, love your kid enough to kick him outside and make him be active and make him play. That's it.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, Steve, is, you know, some of these video games, they're violent, yes. Do we see that is desensitizing kids to violence? We're not so sure about that. But one thing we do know is it shows that they show a decrease, a more pronounced impulsiveness. I saw a guy jump over a car in a video game. Oh, you know what? I can do that. And these kids are at an age where they're still fearless, and they see something on a video game, and they go and try it, and we're seeing injuries from those.
Yeah, and if you've been sitting around and you're not in shape, don't jump over a car. What?
Correct.
A couple of texter questions, Doc. As a teacher, I've seen fine motor development decline. The child does not know how to hold a crayon or a pencil entering kindergarten and struggles with handwriting and fine motor control due to primarily using a device where all you do is tap and swipe. I hadn't even thought about that.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing that's interesting about that point is controllers are one size, so it really doesn't allow someone, if they had specific controllers based on the size of your hand, that might be possible. But now it's not. It's one size, so it really doesn't fit anybody except for one person. So there is decrease in that. You're going to see artists that are not going to be as good as they were in the past, that's for sure.
847 texter says, what about the increase in breast cancer in younger women? Is it due to placing cell phones in their bra to carry?
No, I doubt that. You know, the increase in breast cancer in younger women is a couple of things.
What if it's a really big phone?
One is hereditary, one is hormonal, one is exposure to things, and one is awareness and detection. So,
and a completely separate question here, Doc. I'm scheduled to attend a wedding in Punta Cana. The Zika virus scares me. My husband died from West Nile 3 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Zika virus, you know, it's a big media splash, and it is only going to continue until something happens. You know, you're going to start to see more and more cases in the United States. So I'm not sure how old this individual was who put this, but if you're a woman of childbearing age, I'd be extremely careful going down there. And then again, anyone who's coming back, he can have the Zika virus for weeks afterwards and can still spread that to a female. So pregnant female is the group that we're most concerned about.
Man, can you imagine losing your husband like that and then having to go into mosquito country?
Oh,
it's very scary. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. News next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time, and it doesn't sound like my voice at all. I have many, many people that are trying to imitate my voice, and you can imagine that. And this sounds like one of the scams, one of the many scams. Doesn't sound like me.
The Post also says this is something you did rather routinely, that you would call reporters and plant stories and say either you were John Miller or John Barron, but in fact it was actually you on the phone. Is that something you did with any regularity?
No, and it was not me on the phone. It was not me on the phone. And when was this, 25 years ago?
In the early 90s, but
wow,
yeah.
You mean you're going so low as to talk about something that took place 25 years ago about whether or not I made a phone call? I guess you're saying under a presumed name.
Yes, under a presumed name.
Okay, the answer is no. And let's get on to more current subjects. I mean, I know it's wonderful for your listeners.
It's Trump on Friday on the Today Show. And over the weekend, he continued to deny it. Here's the thing that's fascinating about how crazy he is. And I don't mean that in a complimentary way. Why lie about this one? And the only conclusion you can make is because his instinct is to lie. And therefore, doesn't that in fact water down his argument that Hillary's a liar? Because if Trump continues to lie about stupid things, how do you know when he's ever going to tell you the truth?
I don't know, and that's frightening.
Because all he had to do was say, yeah, I was trying to get my name, my image out there. No surprise, that's who he is. So in a couple of cases, to expedite the process, I called posing as my own publicist.
Right.
Story's over.
Mm-hmm.
People would find it cute. They'd find it so Donald.
Just, you know what? You're right. Get it out there because the truth is going to come out anyway.
Why lie about this?
Get it out there. I know, it's stupid.
You know who I'd like to talk to about this is his girlfriend, Selena Middlefart. Remember the Norwegian cosmetic heiress?
That was her name.
That's her real name, yeah. She dated him before he hooked up with Melania. Mm-hmm. I would say Selena Middlefart, it's Steve. would you call Donald Trump and ask him to just admit this? Because he looks like a fool. And you know me, I don't like when Trump looks like a fool. Thank goodness he's got people like Paul Manafort, one of his big shot campaign managers, out there defending him on all fronts.
Now, are you seriously, is a campaign seriously claiming that that isn't Mr. Trump?
I could barely understand it. I couldn't tell who it is. Donald Trump says it's not him. I believe it's not him.
In 1990, under oath, he testified that he did use the name John Barron. And in 1991, he told People magazine that he did use the name John Miller. So this has already been admitted previously. I don't understand why now.
I don't know those facts to be true or not. I just know that he said it's not him. I believe him. I don't even know the relevance of this, frankly. Other than it's 25 years old, it's dealing with the interests that People magazine are in. It's totally irrelevant.
First of all, Mr. Trump has brought up things that were 25 years old on behalf of Mr. Clinton, former President Clinton. But second of all, I think the issue is
that was not People Magazine. Those were issues that related to a core component of Hillary Clinton's strategy, which is that she's talking about breaking the ceiling for women, and yet she was an enabler.
So you can't have it both ways.
No.
You can't say, don't talk about my stuff 25 years ago, but definitely talk about their stuff.
You know who he reminds me of a little bit?
Manafort?
Not in looks, but Clemenzo. Remember from The Godfather? Would kind of do the dirty work, be the spokesman, take the cannoli, leave the gun. Doesn't he remind you of that guy?
Yeah, he's a little bit Clemenzo.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's a little bit. President Obama was speaking at a commencement this weekend. And, you know, look, maybe not the greatest president of all time, but the guy knows how to throw it out of speech. Here's Obama.
In politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue. It's not cool to not know what you're talking about. That's not keeping it real or telling it like it is. That's not challenging political correctness. That's just not knowing what you're talking about. The world is more interconnected than ever before, and it's becoming more connected every day. Building walls won't change that. Isolating or disparaging Muslims, suggesting that they should be treated differently when it comes to entering this country, that is not just a betrayal of our values. That's not just a betrayal of who we are. It would alienate the very communities at home and abroad who are our most important partners in the fight against violent extremism.
That's President Obama at a commencement exercise yesterday. Never said the word Trump once. Didn't have to.
No, didn't need to.
Didn't have to. Chris Wallace yesterday on Fox was talking to Reince Priebus. Now, Reince Priebus, and I like Reince Priebus, the RNC director, but he now is in a position where he's got to defend Trump because Trump's his guy. The question about Trump's overt and consistent, constant sexism came up again in a New York Times piece over the weekend about how Trump treats women. And we have some details we can get into later we want or not. I mean, it's no secret about any of the stuff that was out there. But in this piece, it's Chris Wallace talking to Reince Priebus, and Wallace has just had it. Wallace, who's a Republican, he's just had it. He doesn't want to hear defense of Trump with sexism. Listen.
Chairman, I want to start with that article in the New York Times today. It's called Crossing the Line, Trump's Private Conduct with Women. They did more than 50 interviews over 6 weeks, and they say they found repeated instances of Trump insulting women and making unwanted advances, even in the workplace. Chairman Priebus, does that bother you?
Well, you know, a lot of things bother me, Chris, and obviously I'm the wrong person to be asking that particular question, but... Wait a minute.
Why are you the wrong person? I mean, you're the chairman of the party. This is your nominee. And they're saying that he has mistreated women over the years.
What I would say is, you know, we've been working on this primary for over a year, Chris. And I've got to tell you, I think that all these stories that come out and they come out every couple weeks, people just don't care. I think people look at Donald Trump and say, and Hillary Clinton and say, who's going to bring an earthquake to Washington, D.C.
Really bad analogy.
Oh, my gosh. People just really, don't care.
Really
it's not enough. A good answer.
Yeah, and somebody else brought this up. We're not looking for an earthquake. Earthquakes are bad things. It's 7:19. Let's do traffic. And then Kate Carr is standing by. Let's talk about something that really is immediately matters here, and that's texting and teen driving in a second. /7:24, your kid learns how to drive, and the first time you turn them loose, it's like the day you put them on a bus for kindergarten. It's one of those life moments where you go, oh my God, I just turned my kid loose. What am I doing? Oh, and by the way, now you've given them a motor vehicle to drive. This is the same kid who you taught him how to drive. Maybe you took him out in a parking lot, or maybe you drove with him on the street. And you did that thing where you pump the air brake on your side that doesn't even exist because you're going, oh, my God, stop, 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 stop.
My foot right through the floorboard.
Yes. Somehow they survive. But can you do it while you're texting? Of course not. Kate Carr joins us. Kate Carr is part of a campaign trying to make kids safer. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Good morning. And that was some pretty crazy explanations, but I think all too true.
Yeah. Do you remember, I mean, who taught you how to drive?
my dad, and I think I terrorized him. So it's a very vibrant memory. And yet, in our report, teens tell us the thing that they value most is that time behind the wheel when they're learning to drive with their parents.
Yeah.
Who knew that teens would like to be with their parents?
Well, because that's the ultimate trust figure in your life, hopefully. And in that case, yeah, you may not like it when it's going on, but you're going to learn the most and absorb the most, and it's going to be most impactful, right?
Well, and it can be the most impactful in positive ways and in negative ways. In our report, we took a look at 753 pairs of teens, new teen drivers and parents, and we found that when parents break the rules and text and drive or speed and drink and drive, kids are likely to do the same thing. And the reverse holds true.
You got to be an example. That's true. Having said that, the conversation that I had with my own kids, and this is before texting became so completely prevalent, and a part of every move that we make in life, is there are certain things in life that are black and white. And one of the things that are black and white is this. You cannot text while you drive the car. You cannot. You text, you lose the phone. Says no. There's no explanation. There's no next time it's going to happen. You have to be tough like that, don't you?
That's absolutely right. That's a great rule to have. And we really took a look at having formal agreements. And they don't have to be in writing. They can be a verbal agreement. But it's here are the rules that you have to observe, and here are the consequences if you don't. And while texting is important because we know teens don't get separated from their cell phones, we also know that speeding, drinking and driving, or driving under the influence, not wearing a seatbelt, all of these are important factors to impress upon your new teen who is inexperienced behind the wheel.
And Kay, too, I know a lot of people say, I actually sometimes will toss my phone on the passenger seat next to me. But you know what? I've heard people say, just put it in the glove compartment or the glove box or the console. Just keep it there. Nothing is that important where you can't wait.
Well, there's that great campaign. It can wait.
It can wait.
It can wait. I'm looking at the Safe Kids Worldwide Teens and Cars infographic. You go to safekids.org and you can see it. Running through a couple of these here, Kate. Number one killer of teens is motor vehicle crashes. Fatalities are split equally between drivers and passengers. One in four teens surveyed said they don't use a seatbelt. In half the fatalities, the teen wasn't wearing one. Seatbelts reduce the risk of death by almost 50%. Teens who don't use seatbelts are more likely to say they text while driving than those who don't. In other words, if you don't force them to do one thing, they probably aren't going to think the other one's important, I guess, right?
That's right. And, you know, this behavior is kind of consistent. And yet we found in our new report that teens who have a rule, a family agreement, are more likely to take less risky behavior. So this is a great message to parents, and especially parents of our young men, our sons, because boys are likely to drive at a rate 2 out of every 3 fatalities are boys in cars. And
right.
they take more risks.
Half teens surveyed said they've seen a parent talking on the phone while driving. That number seems remarkably low, frankly. I can't imagine that's not 100%. But having said that, this goes back to, again, the example you set. Now, in specific to texting, because so many cars are Bluetooth ready now and you can drive hands-free, you have to have the conversation ahead of time, because don't assume your 16-year-old can process the same information the same way you're processing it. In other words, I'm driving and I'm talking on the phone. And I'm talking on the phone because I need to at this point. So it's a relevant call in my life. It's not just shooting the breeze with my friends. And I'm focusing on driving because I have the experience to do that. And again, I'm hands-free. That's a world of difference than texting and driving.
Absolutely. You know, if you're texting and driving, that two-second glance down at a cell phone is like driving down a football field with blindfolded. I mean, you really aren't seeing what's happening around you.
So the bottom line here is, and for parents who have never done this, go, oh, I'm not going to have a contract with my kids. Well, what are you going to do then? What's your idea? Because we're challenging you here. We're challenging you here to set up some sort of plan, something, a handshake, a verbal agreement, or a hard and fast rule that you're willing to take the heat on and follow, that your kids cannot text while they drive.
It's a great rule, and we have a sample agreement also on our website, safekids.org, that parents can follow. They can decide these are the things that matter to us. But what we found is it's an agreement, it's being a good role model, and it's at least 50 hours behind the wheel of supervised driving in a variety of conditions that will help ensure that your teen doesn't become a statistic. It's about spending that time and doing the right thing and teaching them to do the right thing.
Okay, Carr, thank you. I appreciate your time. Safekids.org. And Dave, the thing that Andrea was talking about, put the phone in the glove box, whatever, because even though I try to not text while I drive, there's times where I text and I don't even realize I'm doing it. And I'll catch myself and go, what the hell am I doing? And I'll turn the phone off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or put it in your bag. Well, you don't carry a bag, do you?
Like a man purse, a merce?
Yeah, like a backpack or, okay.
I've got 900 bags, but none of them are merces.
I'll put mine in my backpack.
Yeah, and
in
then
the pocket.
And then put it in the back seat or put it, mm-hmm. you know, on the floor. Well, so I just can't reach.
Well,
it.
The reason I turn my phone off,
right,
is because you can't consciously use it if it's off, or I should say unconsciously use it if it's off, and then you have to literally turn it on to reboot it.
Or how about this? This is crazy. How about talking hands free? I know.
Yeah, well, most of my car is set up hands free now. That'd be the ice blue Chevy Impala.
Blue Thunder.
So, you know, go hands-free as fast as you possibly can. But adults as well. I mean, look, just because you're a better driver than your kid doesn't mean you can drive while you text.
I agree.
It can wait. It's absolutely true.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The charges allege that between September 2013 and December 2014, the defendant solicited an individual to carry out a murder-for-hire plot against Will County State's Attorney Jim Glasgow.
There would be no reason to risk his freedom after fighting all these years by getting in further trouble.
Basically, we don't want this case being tried before a jury's ever impaneled.
Ryan Burrows here from 720 WGN News and ABC News as well. All right, so how did they find out that this threat even occurred, Ryan?
Yeah, it dates back between September of 2013 and December of 2014, and they apparently, the agents, the federal government, or I should say the state government, had some informant who got it on tape, got this recording on tape, the threat against James Glasgow, the Will County prosecutor. Now, you know, Peterson's attorneys say that, you know, this is just another piece of the puzzle that the prosecutors have been conspiring to railroad him since all these charges were brought up against him, you know, following the Kathleen Savio or during the Kathleen Savio death trial.
Has the tape been verified?
At this point, no. I mean, we don't know anything as far as, hopefully we'll be able to hear the tapes. That's what we're hoping in this upcoming trial. But we'll have to see as far as when they lay this out, how it's going to sound and, you know, what exactly the conversations were.
Drew Peterson has not had a lot of luck with attorneys either. They're not dying like his wives. But they don't seem to want to work with him forever. Who's representing him this time around?
His name is not in front of me. It is
But he's a guy that's been consistent through this particular case?
Steve Greenberg.
Greenberg, yes, correct. And Greenberg's the one who's also trying to get the overturned Savio conviction as well.
All right, so he's been with him for a little bit.
Yeah.
So what is the basis of the defense? Just what was said there? Because just because you go, well, why would he cause more trouble for himself? That's not going to hold up in court.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna say this is part of a wider scope that the Will County State's Attorney's basically had it out for him for a while. You know,
but they've already got him. He's already
understand.
In jail.
Well, look, and now he faces 60 more years. You know, if convicted on these two charges of murder for hire and one count solicitation of murder and one count of solicitation for murder for hire. So, I mean, tack that on to the 38 years he's already serving, 3 years in. I don't know.
Remember during the last trial, this is when Drew Peterson was in court and said to Jim Glasgow, look me in the eye. Look, my life is, you've taken all aspects of my life, personal, professional, look me in the eye. I said to Steve this morning, Ryan, I anticipate, I don't want to say a kinder, gentler Drew Peterson, but more of a groveling Drew Peterson because he's got nowhere to go, yeah, literally at this point.
You know, I don't know. I mean, how can you change him? I mean, the cameras are going to be there. The reporters are going to be there, although cameras not in the courtroom. This is going to be a pretty small courtroom in Randolph County. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've all been getting calls for the last week about, are you going to be there? Because we need to figure out spacing. You know, it's not going to be that big of a courtroom. But, you know, every time with Drew Peterson, it's a spectacle. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
What do we need to know about how this is going to go down? Jury selection this week?
Once that's in place, we don't know how long that's going to take. They figure the trial will take about a week.
And the reason for going forward and prosecuting this is because you got to uphold the law. And when stuff like this happens, it doesn't matter if you're Drew Peterson or not. What's he looking at if he's guilty?
Up to 60 years. 60 years behind bars. On top of the 38 he's serving, he's still got 35 of those to go. And, of course, you know behind the scenes they're still digging away at the Stacey Peterson case because he hasn't been charged with anything there yet. And that's kind of what led to Kathleen Savio. So we'll see what happens.
I just hope Stacey Peterson comes back and testifies on his behalf because, you know, she left with that guy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Hasn't been seen since 2007.
If OJ gets out of prison in Vegas, will he look for Stacey Peterson as well as the real killers? Because remember, he was going to do that.
Yeah, that's a real good point.
So he'll probably see Drew Peterson at the meeting. The killers meeting.
I knew you were going to say that.
Thank you, Ryan. No problem. You going to be forced to cover this, or did you force this on someone else?
You know what? We got a lot of stuff going on at the end of the week, so I'll probably be around here. We got Ferris Fest coming up. We've got, by the way, in court in Kalamazoo, the Uber, the alleged Uber shooter. Mm-hmm. And then we've got actually in federal court later this week the appeal to the conviction of Jared Fogle, his sentencing. That's going to be here in Chicago. So we got a lot of court stuff going on at the end of this week.
Here, absolutely. Yeah. Nice job by you, as always.
Thank you.
Couple of minutes before 8, and John Oliver does a great job on a show called Last Week Tonight on HBO. Frankly, worth the cost of HBO just to get Veep, Silicon Valley, and John Oliver. So John Oliver has taken on a number of things related to Trump, as I think you are all aware. Have you not seen the Trump takedown that he did back about a month and a half ago? Mm. And again, he's not saying anything we don't say, but he's saying it with a television show and a staff of 30 writers. Having said that, I'm a big John Oliver fan. And he took up the cause on this Trump pretending he's a publicist named John Miller. If you don't know the backstory, John Miller is Donald Trump. Donald Trump claims he's not John Miller. He used to hold his nose in the early 90s and call newspapers and say it's John Miller calling for Donald Trump to try to get Donald Trump coverage on whatever he was talking about. Here's John Oliver on all of that.
There is only one way to settle this. Tonight, I would like to extend an invitation to John Miller, publicist, to appear on this program. Now, to be clear, this is not an invitation to Donald Trump. Who has never and will never be invited here for an interview. But if John Miller wants to come sit down with us, we would love to have him. We've even set up our interview area for you, where with all the things that we presume John Miller enjoys, overcooked steaks, low-grade pornographic magazines, and a hand mirror. It's an open invitation, so please come on by, John Miller. There's literally nothing stopping you other than the fact you obviously don't exist.
Tremendous. That's tremendous. John Oliver, Last Week Tonight, HBO.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Hey, Ted, Dean, in a moment. First, thanks again to everybody that came out to Zany's last night in Rosemont, including young broadcaster Dave Ennett and his delightful wife, Karen. Nice to see you guys.
Thank you. Very nice to be there.
Dave dozed off during the show, but it was late. It was 7 o'clock.
I was there.
Sunday night school night. And, you know, Karen made him go.
I know, thankfully. Karen's great.
She is the great. She's the best. So thanks for coming out, Dave. I appreciate it.
No, it's good to be there.
Sandberg, the producer, shows up, helped us do the show, ran around in the audience, got us contestants for some games and stuff that we played. Steve Shapiro from Apt Electronics was there.
Was Steve out there? Oh, yeah. Steve's the best.
He's a good guy. Love really him. Good guy. Sorry I missed you, Steve, before you left. And then John DeCoste thought it was weird. I actually left to beat traffic.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I took off with about 10 minutes to go on the show.
It's not like the show had your name on it.
No.
Anything.
Please. But John called me. We talked. I was on 294. He called me while he was finishing the show. Sandberg, what'd you think of the show? Did you like it?
The show was great. Yes, yeah. I did.
You had fun?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. And who is the dude you're with?
My significant other, Pat Boyle.
What do we call him? Is he
do you say, what do you say?
Is he boyfriend or fiance?
He says fiance, so I just don't, not a fan of that word.
Go ahead, say it.
Your man.
Say fiance.
Fiance.
Oh. Your beau.
When are you guys getting hitched? Because I should definitely do the wedding.
Okay. Sometime this summer.
Yeah. You know, I'm ordained.
I do know that, yeah.
You don't need a fancy church wedding.
No, we're not doing church.
Yeah. Well, then I'm perfect.
We each had a church wedding, so been there, done that.
Right. You had a mulligan.
Yeah.
I mean, in the best possible way. So this is an opportunity then to have a friend, you know, I'm a friend of both of you.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for me to do the wedding, because otherwise I don't see me getting invited, to be honest with you. Even if it's a small service where it's just the three of us.
Right. Oh, and it'll be the three of us and then the kids will be there. So
well, the kids should be. Yeah. Kids are delightful.
Uncle Steve.
Yeah. Doing the wedding.
Remember when Uncle Steve, you know what I have to say? I played... The kids think you're very funny, especially Patrick, the 9-year-old.
Uh-huh.
I played the birthday shout out for my mom that you did last Friday for them. And you were saying that, asking about if my family's always been scared of me. And then you said, she's going to blow like a geyser, whatever. Patrick was cracking up. He's like, that guy's funny.
See, someone in Mary's family thinks you're funny too.
Well, look, the ultimate truth is none of us realize who we are, right? Mm-hmm. And people don't know, including Sandberg. Sandberg doesn't know that she's scaring most of the people around her. But for all the right reasons.
But that's okay. Yeah, but that's all right. Yeah. You need the discipline.
Well, I'm glad you're there. And thanks to everybody at Zanies. Man, we had a crowd. It was like black people going to church, man. They just would not keep their mouths shut. They were just talking and celebrating.
Were they great. Heckling you guys?
No, they were just fans. They were tremendous.
They knew all of Steve's bits, though, so they were kind of beating him to the punch.
Yeah, they were doing the jokes.
They were calling Rowan Anna thieves, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they actually did want me to talk about that, but I tried to move on. And then I found out Ro had my wallet. So I ran actually surprised.
Well, Ro had his wallet because he left his wallet on stage. So that's kind of a you problem.
I did leave my wallet on stage.
Oh,
I really
no.
trust this audience. But I got it. I got it.
Okay, good.
Did he steal anything from you?
Well,
Ro or Anna?
You know, Anna, Kevin. I mean, where do you want the list at? Jerseys.
Was Kevin there?
Kev was not there. Kev had a family dinner.
Oh. Though he was spoken of very highly by Ro and Anna. They couldn't stop gushing about Kevin.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a love fest. But the truth is, and Dave, you know this, you go, because you've been here longer than any of us. You've been here longer than dirt. Yeah.
thank you very much.
I mean, in a positive way in regards to the dirt.
We need dirt to live.
This audience is the greatest. And Dean Richards knows this. Dean's been here almost as long as Dave's dirt. And
he's been longer than Dave.
You've been around longer than Dave's dirt?
I introduced Dave the first day that Dave was on the air.
I didn't know that.
I remember that.
How funny is this? Because Dave.
That was my second time here.
Yeah, right.
Wait, so Dean introduced Dave his first time on the air. Dave introduced me the first time on the air. I mean, I was like, I was still in the stroller.
Right.
But then he calls me Angela.
Right.
And that was because of Dan Filato, our producer. I couldn't read his handwriting.
Right. And then I was fired in 2010. It'll all be in the book.
Yeah, see, it all comes full circle.
So the point to all of this is thank you to the audience that showed up last night, but thank you to the audience that shows up every day. I mean, these people are great.
They're the best.
And I'm sorry, there's people that drove like 2.5 hours to see you last night. I would never do that.
Wow. Wow. Well, I couldn't ask Vanderbilt to toss in on that?
Wow.
There's so many things Sandberg says now that wouldn't even have gotten her a second interview.
Boy.
I mean, she said something last night that would have just disqualified her completely. There's honesty, and then there's really, don't say that out loud.
TMI.
Unbelievable.
But there were people for the Quad Cities
there.
That's, you know, a long drive.
That's impressive.
For an evening.
Well, I made an agreement that I'd drive to the Quad Cities to see them.
Oh, okay. That's
so
fair.
I'm showing up at their house.
I was driving from the Quad Cities, and I didn't even make it.
That's true. And let me go live to Mary Vandeveld. Why didn't you come to the show, Mary?
Oh, I was working on a sewing project with my son's girlfriend. Yes.
What's more entertaining?
I had to bond.
What's more entertaining than me? A sewing project on a Sunday night.
Boy, it's like Steel Magnolias.
And I was modeling that sewing project for Mary while she was hemming it. So
No, listen.
Nice knees, by the
Thank you.
Nobody goes out at night more than Dean Richards, and some of it's work. Nobody goes out at night more than Dean, and Dean has come out to a number of my shows. And
has he?
Yeah, he really has. Yeah.
A few.
Yeah, he really has. So, you know, I never have to doubt Dean's friendship. The rest of you?
I've been to quite a few.
Yes. Andre, you come to most of them.
The cost didn't save me a seat. Anyway.
I come to most of them. I just couldn't yesterday. I was out of town.
Oh, you know who else I met last night? The parents of Mark Reardon. For you people that listen downstate or listen in St. Louis, Camel X in St. Louis, big station there. It's like the GN of St. Louis. There's a guy named Mark Reardon who's on every afternoon. I met his parents. His parents are from here. And he's a big shot in St. Louis. So anyway, go get him, Mark. So I said, will you listen to Roe? And the woman goes, no, my son's on. So she's listening to her kid on KMOX. So anyway, we had a good time, Dean. That's the point.
That's all that matters, Steve. Wow, did that sound patronizing.
Yeah, it really did.
More than I intended, really. The because I'm still shaken by the second crime wave that has hit the Showcase studio yesterday morning during my show.
I think we should lead with this when we come back.
Yeah.
Another Showcase studio theft.
We know
Roe is a thief, but we also know Roe has an alibi for yesterday.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
We had a theft. Crime spree at the tower. You know, Dean, this is the last night of Castle on ABC ever, which is a pretty good show for years.
Yep.
And ABC canceled it. Mary, tonight's the last Castle. Just so you know, Mary, it's over after tonight.
Oh.
By the way, Dean, in your investigative powers as an entertainment journalist superstar, maybe you could find out why Stan Akatic and what's the dude's name? Nathan Fillion? Why they were fighting. If you could get back to us on that, put your best people on that.
Let me get a couple of calls out on that.
But in the midst of all of this, we have the setting for a real-life TV drama here. You got Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire. How about Chicago Thieves?
This is going to be called Chicago Green Room.
No.
Because it's
Green Room.
CSI Chicago.
Because well, it could be that, too.
Isn't that where the scene of your crime took place?
In
the Green Room.
Yep.
Which is just outside of the Allstate Showcase studio. Over the weekend, somebody dropped off a package with my name on it, big old label on it that said my name on it. And inside, there were some press releases and things. On the press release, it said, enclosed, please find. And they wrote on this press release what was supposed to be inside the package. And most of it was not there. Most of it was not there, Steve.
And this was gear for a particular show that was upcoming?
For a show that's going to be opening soon. It's swag, as we call it.
And by the way, it doesn't matter what it was. It
doesn't matter.
Your name is on the package.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to Dean's house, open his mailbox, and take his things? Are you? Why don't you just break in? Why don't you just break in and take his stuff?
Well, let's not get a...
Why don't you... Here's the address. Why don't you...
Dean, how long was the...
My example's getting too passionate.
How long was the bag in the green room?
I'm not sure.
Because you can think... Maybe you can narrow it down.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But sometime between 9 a.m. and when you discovered it.
I came in to do the show yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, so I'm not really sure.
Oh, so it could have been dropped off on Saturday.
It may have been. I'm not really sure, but it's still Steve's point.
It could have been dropped off at 3 p.m. on Friday when Roe going on.
It's very possible that it got there during Roe's show on Friday.
But it's not yours. This is the thing about the jerseys.
This is the part I don't get.
The jerseys made me nuts. Why would you take it if it's not yours?
Don't understand, but I just know this trend needs to stop.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm now conceal and carry at WGN.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, it's a stapler. It's conceal and carry a stapler.
Though you people who knock on the window and annoy me during the window, I'm just saying the stakes have gotten a lot higher now.
The glass doesn't work either way.
That's very true.
Well, I'm sorry that happened because, you know, if you feel like me, you feel like you're victimized.
Yeah.
You feel like you get up and you try to be a decent person. You come to work and somebody steals your stuff.
Do. I feel dirty.
And let me just say what I said when Ro took our stuff. We will find you.
That's right.
I have a certain set of skills, Dean.
I know. I know you do now.
And we will find you.
When Steve talks like that, we will kill you. When Steve uses that voice, look out.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
That's what friends are for. All right.
It's a good thing we have some thrilling news, Steve.
Major concert announcement.
I know where you and I will be August the 9th, the United Center.
Yep.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, man.
Is coming to Chicago. She's doing a tour backing up a new album that's called
Midnight, All the Kitties Are Sleeping. It's almost like I'm channeling her, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. The new album is called Encore Movie Partners,
yeah,
Sing Broadway. That's why Steve is singing the kitty song from Cats.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy tickets for this show, Steve, you get a copy of the album.
What?
So it's not only you're getting tickets to the show, but you're getting an album as well. Tickets are the show, I said that, is going to be August 9th
right.
at the United Center, but they will go on sale a week from Wednesday, May 25th.
And do I understand this right? This is their last tour?
Well, this has been her last tour.
It's her comeback. It's her comeback tour. It's her last tour.
It's every show. Really, every show could be somebody's last tour the way this year is going with people. If you're an American Express card holder, tickets go on sale this coming Wednesday, but for general sales, tickets go on sale on May 25th.
Ageless and evergreen.
That's why it's called Partners, Singing Broadway.
I just got an idea for your next show, Steve. You and Dean, it's like duets, like Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole.
Dean and Steve sing Barbara.
Babs.
You know, I didn't realize I was a huge Streisand fan because I heard him on with Roe talking about Skilling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big Streisand
fan. Didn't know that.
Yeah. All right, on the other end of the musical scale, what's wrong with Anthony Kiedis?
Anthony has got intestinal flu, and they had to cancel a show over the weekend. The Red Hot Chili Peppers had to cancel a show in Irvine, California. They have already canceled a show in Los Angeles tomorrow night. They say that he's going to be fine. They're just not sure when he's going to be back up and running again. Red Hot Chili Peppers scheduled to be a headliner at Lollapalooza end of July. I certainly would think that things would be back to normal by then.
Is this some sort of show business cover for a bigger problem?
Well, I hope not. But
yeah, me too.
We pretty much reported this exact same story about Prince a month ago. So
right, and that didn't end well.
That did not end well. So I hope that this is nothing more than intestinal flu.
All right. There is a movie coming out called Black Panther. I don't know this movie.
Well, did you see Captain America yet?
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Captain America, the Chadwick Boseman character, the African prince who turns superhero in the movie, that's Black Panther. That's the Marvel character Black Panther. He's going to get his own movie that will be coming out in 2018. And not only Chadwick Boseman, who played Jackie Robinson in 42, he played James Brown in Get On Up. He's going to star in the movie, but just signed to the film. We don't know in what capacity is Michael B. Jordan, who was Creed in the Rocky spinoff Creed. He was in Fruitvale Station. He unfortunately was in Fantastic Four that came out a year or so ago. But the star lineup that's getting set to do this film is becoming pretty impressive. Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o is in negotiations right now to join the cast, and we expect that announcement to be coming very soon. So for Marvel fans, pretty big news. Captain America, easily number one movie of the weekend again, $72 million over the weekend. Jungle Book came in second, and George Clooney and Julia Roberts came in fourth. The Kevin Bacon movie, The Darkness, came in third.
Dave Ennett, you saw the Money Monster movie. What'd you think?
I did. I liked it. I thought it was... Look, the cast like that with Clooney and
get your attention,
Julie Roberts. I mean, granted, it was maybe not all that full of surprises, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a couple of hours or 90
I forget what
plus
you said. Didn't you say it was fine?
Look,
I loved it. My only criticism of it is that you will get a greater appreciation of it. You need to be a like a super Marvel fan to appreciate some of the real nuanced things. But if you're not, it doesn't hurt the enjoyment of the movie at all. So I still loved it. I gave it an A-. I loved it.
Only
there were a couple of Barbara Streisand songs in it.
And finally, why does Jason Sudeikis have a porn stash?
Does he have a porn stash?
Yeah, he's got a weird mustache.
That must be for a movie role.
But this is the setup for you talking to him.
For porn stash?
No, see.
I'm not following you at all.
Jason Sudeikis.
Steve, I've been traumatized by this crime.
Sudeikis. Jason Sudeikis.
Not following your needs as well as I normally do.
Right. Here's what happens is there's a piece of audio about Jason Sudeikis that I'm trying to set up. So I was saying, I just saw Jason Sudeikis on TV. He's got a funny mustache. So I naturally assumed that when you talked to him, he had a funny mustache, and you could explain the funny mustache.
Yeah, actually, when I talked to him, he did not have a funny mustache. That's why I'm
screwed that setup up.
That's why I'm perplexed. What I talked to him about was... His leaving SNL and if he misses political season, but also discovered two things about Jason Sudeikis I never knew. Number one, George Wendt, Norm from Cheers, is his uncle, his mother's brother, which I never knew. But I also, we learned that his father's Lithuanian family from Chicago still lives in Chicago, and he told us where.
Southside, they're my, you know, still in the family in, you know, the Christ King Parish, basically 95th and Western.
Wow.
And my dad on the South Shore.
I was wondering if you miss SNL during the political season, like with so much.
No, I mean, it's still on TV. I get to watch it like everybody else.
What I mean.
No, I mean, that's the nice thing about leaving when I left and having the great time that I did when I was there. It's like, I don't miss it. But I am like anybody that watches the show, a fan or just a viewer, whatever, however they define themselves, excited to see what their take on a week's worth of events or you know, in the fall, an entire summer's worth of events. So, and obviously, it's almost tough to parody this year because it's almost self-parody.
Yeah, it's got to be difficult, I would think, to do comedy about something which is so comedic in the first place. He's in the movie Angry Birds. He's one of the voices in the movie Angry Birds that opens on Friday. Famous for their porn stashes.
Thanks for wrapping it up, taking a full circle. All right, buddy. Big story coming up. Stand by for that. Andrea will have it for you. And just in case you're wondering, no, we haven't lost our mind. Dave was talking about Money Monster. Dean actually referenced Captain America. Right. You know, we'll fix it in editing. It's 8:32. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dave, you got one?
Well, I did have a brief karaoke career.
All right.
It was one time.
What was your song?
Your song.
Elton John, your song.
Your
That's
song.
Not an easy song to sing.
Let's hear it. There
you go. No.
Dave Bennett does Elton John's
I don't think we need
song.
To. I don't think we really need to do it.
Come on.
Right, what are the lyrics? Because I forget.
You can tell it.
Everybody, this is your song.
Listen to that.
Maybe it's quite simple, but.
Now that you're gone. Now that it's gone.
Yeah, now that you're
I hope you don't gone. Mind. I hope you don't mind. See, I can't hit those notes
no,
anymore.
No, but that was good. You kind of want Barry White on.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
And you can tell everybody this is your song.
I can't tell which one's Dave and which one's Elton John.
You really can't, can you?
And who's Jesus and who's Fergie?
Right.
Now that it's done.
Oh, now that it's done, I had the lyrics wrong, too.
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words.
Come on, Dave.
Once was enough.
Life is while you're in this world.
The saddest thing I've ever seen. Hey, thinking about planning a vacation? Where are you going to take the kids this year? From Mental Floss, the world's weirdest theme parks. Going to run through a list of some of the weirdest theme parks on the planet. Stand by for those. You like a park? You like a theme park?
I like a good theme
You like
park?
A Dolly Land, for instance?
I've never been.
Ride the giant boobs at Dolly Land.
Never been. Is that still around?
It's still there.
They actually have an artist depiction of Dolly Parton's chest if she were laying on her back and the roller coaster goes over it.
That might be true.
It seems like a good idea for the engineers. They haven't designed it already. It's 8:45. I almost forgot how to tell time there, which would have been sad. Mary will do the traffic. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll tell you about theme parks you ought to consider taking your family to. Sandberg, aren't you on vacation this week?
Amber's well, not now. She's going on vacation. Yeah.
No, you haven't seen what she's done on the show. She's been on vacation all morning. Aren't you going on vacation this week?
I am.
But you're taking the fiancé.
Yeah, this is...
Say it, fiancé.
Fiancé. This is a kidless trip. You know those people I see on Facebook, they're like, oh, it's our first trip in 8 years without the kids. Screw that. Yeah. I at least need 2 a year kidless.
You should have, and by the way, first off, you should talk about how much you love these kids.
I love twice them so
today,
much.
Because twice today, you sounded like the lady that doesn't like her kids.
It sounds really bad. And plus, being the stepmom, it sounds really bad when I say things like that. But
I know these kids love you. I've seen them around you.
Yeah.
So after you abandon them this week, and you and Pat go off and have your little weekend together, is this a theme park that you're going to? You're going to Epcot, aren't you?
Yes. We are, actually. I've got a Disney jacket. And
yeah, why not? Do you know where you're going? Because as of last week, you didn't know where you were going.
I'm going to stick with, you know, Pat Brady assured me that I don't want to say the location because, you know, for safety reasons, you're not supposed to say things like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Well, like that
your safety reason, you're not supposed to say when you're gone and give your address out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can say where you're going. What do you think, criminals are following
well,
you on the plane?
People might track her down. Maybe
I'm going where Bernie is today, actually.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Ah,
and but Pat Brady assured me because I was concerned about the weather. Pat said that you get occasionally a sprinkle here or there, but then it's fine. So.
And it's similar to Florida; it rains every afternoon for 10 minutes.
Because I was in a panic last week, and I started, you know, the last minute change, which gives me anxiety. You know, but
was it when you asked Tim McGill how the weather's going to be, and he said, "Gotta go."
Yeah, he didn't even tell me, so I knew that that was a bad sign.
I assured you of that also, but apparently Pat Brady knows weather more
well,
than
you're
I do.
You're not a meteorologist, though.
Yes.
I forgot you did say that, Dave.
Thank you, Mary.
But yeah.
The difference is she has a crush on Pat Brady.
I got it.
She can't professionally admit her crush on you.
That would be weird. It'd be like having a crush on your dad.
It really got weird.
Oh. It would
say,
be.
Just, you know? Boy, talk about it. Oof. Sometimes a theme park is the right idea. I know Wally World's always closed, but a theme park, generally speaking, take care of a lot of your ills when you're looking for the right place to take the kids. How about Ferrari World? Ferrari World.
Ferrari World.
In Abu Dhabi, home to the world's fastest roller coaster and the largest space frame structure ever built, Ferrari World is situated on an island in Abu Dhabi. It's also the only Ferrari-branded theme park in the world, and every ticket gets a free Ferrari.
No.
You're
how
right.
cool
no.
would that be?
Republic of the Children in Argentina. This theme park established in 1951. It represents a city, but it's proportionally sized for children. It's got a tiny church, a tiny port, a tiny airport, tiny restaurants, a tiny hotel, a tiny parliament. The park was designed for recreation and for kids' instruction in how to learn the ethics of the country of Argentina. There is one of these sort of mini cities in various places, like out in Naperville, the Naperville Police Department, right next to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a mini town, and they teach kids how to cross the street there,
cross
the street safely and, you know, navigate traffic and do other things.
They have that in Romeoville, too.
Is that true? Mm-hmm. Okay. How about Crocosaurus Cove?
Crocosaurus Cove.
Go ahead and turn your microphone, Dave, on if you want to be on the radio. That's certainly how this works here.
Okay. Yeah.
Just all dinosaurs?
Crocosaurus Cove for true adrenaline junkies. It's in Australia, established in 2008. You've been to Australia.
Mm-hmm. Sydney.
Crocosaurus Cove, you climb into the cage of death, which is then lowered into a crocodile-infested... Oh, the crocosaurus.
Oh.
I said crocosaurus. I thought it was some old dinosaur.
You might croak after you go in there.
Crocosaurus. They put you in a cage and they lower you in crocodile-infested waters so you can have the crocs come up to your face.
Okay, how would that be
fun?
Entertaining?
No, I agree.
What if something broke?
What about mini-Europe?
I've been to Europe.
Belgium in 1951 is when this started. At the same, as the name suggests, theme park lets you see all the major attractions around Europe in one place in miniature form. So in like 3 minutes, you can walk from Buckingham Tower to the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, that's kind of cool. You know what it sounds like? Small stupid. World. You know, the actual ride,
or
Small
Epcot.
World. Yeah.
Epcot, where you walk out of Ecuador, you turn right, and suddenly you're in Beijing.
Yeah, exactly. True to life.
Yeah. China, the kingdom of the little people. established in 2009, Chinese theme park employs 100 people who have dwarfism, and they're therefore required to be between 2 and 4 feet tall to work there. They entertain tourists with song and dance routines and are particularly skilled at ballet and hip hop.
Huh. It's a lot going on in that theme park.
How about Bon Bon Land?
Chocolates?
The name Bon Bon suggests lots of sweets and sculptures of confectionery. Instead, this park is filled with statues of rats.
Mm. What?
Animals having issues and cows exposing large cow breasts in Bon Bon Land in Denmark.
Okay, this sounds like Alice in Wonderland. I just Googled it. Look at some of those images.
Yeah, the rats it's very bizarre. The rats getting sick.
Yeah.
I don't understand the point of that. Dubai Land? Anybody up for Dubai Land?
Maybe.
Dubai Land will be open in 2020. And it's not the strangest of the theme parks, but it's going to be one of the most ambitious. Cost $65 billion to build by the time it's done. Divided into 6 zones, one of which will be called the Sahara Kingdom. It'll be twice the size of Disney World.
Boy, it sounds cool.
The Holy Land Experience.
I've done that. Well, I haven't been to
in Florida?
No, I actually went to the Holy Land.
You don't remember when Jesus walked the streets of Tallahassee?
I don't remember seeing that, reading that in the Bible.
Jesus Land is part of the Holy Land Experience in some ways. Its short name is HLE, Holy Land Experience. Theme park recreates scenery from Jerusalem during the first century. The majority of the attractions are reenactments from the Bible, such as the Last Supper, which is served to you by singing waiters and waitresses.
Come on.
Remember, disciple seating is limited during peak hours. Napoleon Land. Napoleon Land opens next year in France.
Is there a height requirement?
When it's finished, the theme park will include a museum, shops, restaurants, a hotel. There'll be a range of reenactments, such as the Battle of Waterloo. I believe ABBA will be appearing at the Battle of Waterloo. Wonderland Kalkar in Germany. Been around since 1996. It's an old nuclear plant transformed into a theme park. Features a 130-foot tall climbing wall inside the park's cooling tower. Does this seem like a good idea to anybody?
No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't seem safe at all.
Park offers 40 rides and attractions, restaurants and hotels, and the gift shop features Geiger counters to see how high your nuke rate is. Grutas Park in Lithuania, established in 2008. Park's a collection of Soviet-era statues and ideological relics from Lithuania during the Soviet Union time. Hey, Mommy, can we never go to Grutas Park again? Because it really sucks.
Boy, you know what they look like? Those, some of those figures look like tombstones, don't
they? Mommy, why do we have to go back and look at the statue of Lenin? It's really stupid.
Large
These are some of the weirdest, oddest, strangest theme parks around the world. One more, Loveland in South Korea. South Korean theme park exhibits outdoor sculptures in various sexual positions, including some that are interactive. In other words, if you want to take a picture, you can mount the statue.
Oh, okay. My God. Google right. This.
The is theme, this. Do you take the kids?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't no. take
they're
the kids.
Be at the, they're going to be at the Lenin Park looking at the statues.
Don't Google this at work.
Yeah. No.
Some alarm is going to go off.
The theme park was allegedly opened as a way of educating young adults about sex. Yeah, I'll bet it was. Yeah. This is the theme when you come in. You got a ticket, lines to the left. People without tickets. Yeah, baby, you line up to the right.
You know what's weird? The sculpture has the guy's pants.
Yeah, they actually did the sculpture. They did the pants on the ground thing. Yeah. We don't advise you Google that with the kids around. Couple of minutes before 9, we're back after the old Lourdes Duarte. Join us at 9:10 on 720 WGN. USC TMZ in the last half hour?
No, what happened?
There's a report that Lourdes and I are fighting.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Lourdes Duarte, which of course translated means muy caliente. Lourdes Duarte from Channel 9 has a couple of stories coming up we wanted to plug, and she was going to come over here, but she made up some cockamamie nonsense about how she had to stay at Channel 9 and edit. Oh, she's on hold now?
In about 10 or 15 minutes, I'm here.
Oh, hi. How are you? I didn't know you were on hold hearing all of that.
I Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. How are you doing, Cochran? How are you treating Miss Darlis over there? You
I don't
being
know.
Good to her?
Ask her.
He's being very nice. No, he's being great. We miss
stop
you.
It.
We wish you were here.
I miss you guys, too. Maybe the next time I could stop by.
No, you're too busy. No, you got a lot going on.
I got a lot busy. Of stuff going
yeah,
on.
You got a lot going on.
She still has the TRO, don't forget.
I had to renew that. That's the call I need to make this morning.
Yeah, you know what? Trump built a wall around her. And he made the Mexicans pay for it. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my.
You got a couple of stories coming up that we do want to talk about, starting with ignoring the bus.
Ignoring the bus. That one actually airs tomorrow night.
I know. I'm going in reverse order.
You're going in reverse. Okay, so that one, it's a cool story because it's a mom that's getting really involved in it. She says, look, I drop off my kid at the bus stop every morning. I wait there with him, and these cars are just zipping through the intersections, completely ignoring that stop arm that the bus has. Not only did she get the cars, but she now has a CTA bus that also did the same thing, just bypassed it, went around that stop arm. And she's pretty upset because at one point her kid almost got hit by cars ignoring that, got out on the wrong side of the car, and the poor kid, who's 8 years old, almost got hit. And so that led her to start recording all of these cars going through that stop arm. So it's kind of an interesting story, what they're doing to try to get you, the driver, to obey the law, the rules of the road. So
Can't you turn in a license plate on that? Because that's a serious crime.
You can, and you do get ticketed for that, but unfortunately, it's not happening as much as people would
everybody's
like,
got
as
a
much as she would like, right?
Everybody's got a phone on their camera.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the car going around the, you know, you need one activist mom or dad standing out there with a camera. Just start shooting it.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, the story will help.
Lourdes was going to come out after doing the story, and it's a very important story. And it'll be on tomorrow night. She's going to come out and do that story, you know, where she actually shot the people ignoring the bus.
Filmed.
She was.
She'd shoot them.
Well, shooting would be appropriate as well. But she was too busy ignoring me.
Look at this. Really. You know what, mister? You never come over here to see me.
That's not true.
I don't think so.
I was in the lobby for like 3 hours and nobody let me in.
Banging on the windows, yeah.
We were talking about this other story. This airs tonight at 9.
Recycling story, yeah.
Yeah, the recycling story. And we were talking about this earlier on the air because we can't fix all the problems in the world, but some stuff is fairly easy to fix. And recycling, which started with Earth Day and kids encouraging their parents in the 80s and 90s, that now is just a part of all of our lives. This is really depressing to hear that maybe the city's not holding up their end of the bargain.
Well, and the city's really blaming you, I guess, the consumer and the residents. Here's what's going on, and this is where this gets complicated. So the city put in place this new rule, new guidelines, where you could no longer drop plastic bags into your recycling bin. So before, you used to put all of your recyclables in this plastic bag, take it out to your blue cart. Well, when they did away with that, now everything that they open up the lid and they see a bag, they just put a tag on it and it gets dumped out with the rest of the garbage. So it goes straight out to the landfill. So you might have the best intentions and you're taking your stuff out there to be recycled, and it's not winding up there. They're saying like anywhere from 10% to 12% of what they pick up, the recycled items that they pick up, actually end up being recycled and is a good stream of recyclable items that they can actually use. So they're
only
just saying
10%.
10% to 12%. So just think about that. Of all the stuff that you try to recycle, only 10% or 12% actually makes it. And they have some really strict rules on what you can and can't recycle. So I'll give you one. A Starbucks cup. Would you think you could put that in there?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Nope, that's not allowed. So if they see that in there, your entire collection of recyclables that you put in that blue cart gets tossed out to the landfill.
So why is a Starbucks cup a no-go?
Some of it has to do with the type of cardboard that it is, or like pizza boxes, for example. There's so much grease and food still in them from the pizza that they can't recycle that stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you're going to give a list of stuff tonight that we should not recycle.
Yeah, and what we did on our Facebook page and on our WGN-TV page is like we put together like this interactive walkthrough of what you can and can't recycle, kind of the do's and don'ts of recycling.
So, Lourdes,
the big thing is the plastic bags, because that's what led to this whole thing.
That's crazy to me, because I live in a building, and we actually just got a recycling program. I used to drive the recyclables to the park and put them in the blue bin, but I would always put them in a bag. So, if you know, obviously I live in a multi-unit building.
So if you put the bag in the recycling bin filled with the stuff, they'll just toss it in the garbage.
Right. So what they'll do is they will put a sticker on it, on that blue cart, basically saying that that cart is contaminated and it gets tossed out with the rest of the garbage. It does not get recycled.
Because they have to do a visual check of what's in there.
Right.
And they're not going to open every bag.
Your garbage bin or whatever what you have in your house and dump it in, no bag.
No bag, correct. Okay. So just dump the recycled items just in there. No bag needed. Okay. The other thing that you actually brought this up, and I think is also a really good story, is that a lot of these buildings or apartment buildings are not required, I guess, to have a recycling program.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah, we just got one.
You just got one, yeah.
Yeah, within the past, so, I would say, 6 months, Lourdes.
So that's something that they're trying to work out, too. How do you make it a requirement that these buildings have to have some sort of recycling program offered to their residents? So you that might be another interesting one.
I think a lot of people think it's, like, legally mandated, but it's not, right?
Yeah, I certainly thought that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
All right, well, they're both good stories. It's no wonder you have no time to see your friends when you're just hanging out at TV all the time working too hard.
But, you know, every time I see you, what do I give you? A big hug.
That's
a big
right.
Cuban hug.
Yes, and those are the best kind, in case you were wondering. My recycling stuff went where tonight? Ignoring the bus tomorrow night. Lourdes doing the work Sapelsa refuses to do because he's a diva. That's the way it goes.
You got it.
Tonight on WGN TV, news at 9, and see Lourdes in the morning at 4 a.m. as well.
Yep. All right, guys.
See you, babe.
See you, Lourdes.
Okay, bye. That's Lourdes Duarte. Muy caliente.
She's awesome. She is. She works tirelessly.
She's great.
She's constantly working. She's great.
And which of the Ponces did she have on with her? Zeppo?
That
Harpo?
Would be Dan. Chico? Dan Ponce. Oh, you didn't ask her if they're going to do another telenovela, because aren't you due for an appearance in one of those?
You know my rule. Ask me, I won't show up, but you better ask me. Dan Ponce. Another, the other brothers. Dan. Who's the one on Channel 5?
Anthony.
So there's Dan and Anthony, and then Harpo is where? Is that on? Is he on Fox?
No, Phil.
Harpo Ponce?
Phil is the father. He's on Channel 11.
Okay, then Zeppo is on MeTV. Zeppo Ponce.
I think Zeppo is on MeTV.
Wrong brothers.
That's not the same brother?
No, it's not the same, Steve.
It's confusing.
I mean, as far as I know.
Yeah. It's 9:18, more of the Steve Cochran Show, next on 720 WGN. Andrea just got back from a graduation. This is graduation season, which means you probably got to get a gift. Am I right about that?
That's a great... I still don't know, because the graduation party is next month, and I don't know what to get a college graduate.
Money.
Is it money? Is that the best call?
Oh, yeah. They all want money. They all need money.
The only thing about that is then that puts a value... I hate to give a gift where you give cash, because then... You run the risk of someone saying, "Oh, you only gave $100 or whatever it would be," as opposed, or maybe someone will think, "Oh, wow, that's so generous." But I always don't. I never want people to think, "Oh, that's all you gave."
Nobody judges you that way.
Really?
They do it behind closed doors. They don't judge you publicly.
Right. Could always pay off their student loans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Or you sneak around and ask your friends, "Well, how much are you giving? Well, how much are you giving? How much are you giving?"
You know? Why don't you just give what you're comfortable giving? Why are you concerned about what other people are giving?
Because what if someone gives more than you?
Well, they will.
Then you're going to look cheap.
There's always going to be people that give more than you or less than you.
Yeah, I know.
That mean, would it be better if you knew what everybody else gave?
Yeah, because then I would give a little more, so I would look more generous than everybody else.
All right, as long as we got to the bottom of it here, that's all I'm saying. Mary, you have a graduate next year?
2 years.
2 years.
He will be a junior. And he did make it to junior year, by the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Amy Cochran, who just got her master's from Southern Illinois University.
Very nice. Now, do you do a party for a master's? Or is that just...
Nah, I wouldn't.
Well, it's not much of an achievement or anything.
Well, no, dinner. Dinner's good.
I actually have been to a master's party. Yeah. But I don't know. Do they still throw parties for master's?
I don't know the answer to that. But Amy Cochran can have anything she wants.
There you go.
Yes,
it's quite an accomplishment.
Right. It's tremendous, yeah. And high school gifts, graduation gifts, different than college graduation gifts, or the same? Is it still money?
College, if they're going to college, though, you can give them stuff for college, or you can give them like a gift card to, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond or somewhere where they're going to go spend money for college stuff.
Well, you got
That's
a great graduation gift idea. You could text it at 312-981-7200. Sandberg, you going?
Yes, I would. She's a girl, so I would get her a great bag.
I was thinking that something like I hope she's
that
not
you
listening.
Wouldn't spend the money at, you know, because it's
like
hard
maybe
for a kid.
Nice luggage or something, like a nice set, not
yeah.
this junk.
Yeah, a bag that they need for their job.
You know? But Steve, I was lucky enough to see Amy Cochran last night.
Yeah.
And I congratulated her on her graduation. And I said, that was nice of you come tonight to support your dad. And she goes, well, I didn't really have anything else going on.
Well, she never lies.
She had a
That's the other
night.
Great thing about my kid.
When people text in, I'd also be curious to know how much money would be, you know, how much should you give a college graduate, a high school graduate?
Okay, now I'm going to put you in a soundproof booth here for
All right.
second.
All right.
Let me just go to Dave on this.
All right.
Dave, guys never have this conversation.
Nope.
We're simply consultants on this conversation.
That's because the wives have to make the decisions about it.
No, because if you'd listen to our suggestion, here's how it goes. Mary, ask me how much we should give to the kid down the street that's graduating.
College or high school?
Okay,
college.
Dear.
Okay. Yeah.
How much should you give to Billy?
I don't know. Is this a kid that used to come by all the time and annoy me? Is it that kid?
Yeah. You really liked him.
Yeah. No, $100. Give him $100. Okay. Now, at that point, you asked me a question and I answered. And then what is your response, Mary?
$100.
That's exactly right.
For that kid?
Well, then what? Go on at 50 then. 50? 50. 50's fine with me.
Still a little much. Did he ever mow the lawn?
$49.75. That's my final offer.
Wait, is this high school?
No, my point is you have to have a discussion. I have to make a decision. It doesn't have to be a discussion. That's it. And if you don't want my input on it, then just make the decision. Let me know how much we gave him. That's all.
You guys aren't helping me at all.
We're not helping you because we're giving you an answer and you want to talk about it for 15 minutes.
Well, this is your godchild, Andrea, right?
Yeah. And then that's another thing. Add this to the text question, too. Don't roll your eyes. If they're related to you, do you have to give more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
$50 more?
Well,
no.
I don't think it goes up incrementally.
Gee whiz. It's not a
wedding. Let's see the chart. If they're a first cousin, if they're a second cousin.
That matters.
It is very hard. It is very difficult.
Thank you.
No, it's not
it
difficult.
Is.
Thank you. Because your team makes everything difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult.
Because we care what other people think.
No, because you think too much about what other people think.
That's right.
Personalized pen's a nice gift from one texter.
A pen?
What?
Yeah, nice pen.
Nobody writes anymore.
Well, not only that, she'll probably, I would lose it.
630, you're overthinking, sweetie. Cash always works, whether they're heading to high school, think new clothes, graduating high school, think college expenses and new clothes, graduating college, think got to get a job, apartment, out of mom and dad's basement. See, it's simple, cash.
And I'm overthinking?
Sweetie.
Sweetie.
A year's supply of ramen if they're graduating high school. Ramen noodles?
Yeah, that is true.
Let's see here. Put together a basket of a bunch of different small items for the dorm room. That's a nice touch.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That's nice,
yeah, for high school.
I
mean, 8th grade.
Or something, wherever they're going to college, buy them a sweatshirt to that college. You know, something like that in the gift bag. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, something that kind of welcomes them to school.
Yeah.
$100 for high school, $200 for college, $500 for wedding if they're family.
$500 for a wedding?
Well, it's a wedding.
I must live in Dave's neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. Why is everybody picking on you, man?
I'm just listening.
He's not bringing in the conversation.
Yeah, he's not contributing.
I'm listening because Steve and I are on the same wavelength here.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a huge discussion. It really doesn't. Because, you know, if it's money, great. If you want to actually shop for something for the kid, great. But if you ask a question and I answer it, why am I still involved in the conversation?
I'm going to get an Apple gift
That's
card.
Good point. You know, when my son graduated from college, I think college. We went to.
Have you met your son?
No. Now that I think about it, might have been high school.
And we By the went way, to his like Stephen.
Yes, that kid.
Yeah.
We went to like an outdoor store, like REI or Marijuana or one of those.
Yeah, I love
and
REI.
Bought all of the guys. It was like a kit with a flashlight, emergency,
an
emergency kit.
Yeah, that's a good.
They all liked it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's a good idea.
I'm not getting it for a girl, though.
Why?
No, it's a guy gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it for the guys.
It's kind of impersonal.
It's not impersonal.
It's not impersonal.
I like that
what do you want?
Bag
what do you want Dave to buy? All the guys with Steven's friends, you buy them underpants? What do you want him to buy?
that would be personal.
9:30.
Fun.
Big story. Next, 720 WGN.
Yeah.
you're wondering if Mike Jacobson, Ukrainian producer of the program and vice president of all things Ukrainian, has lost his mind. This is actually the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest, which is a huge cultural event. Happened this weekend. And crank it up a little bit, dude. Listen to this. Where people are free to live the happiest time, our time. Where's your heart? Humanity rise. If I understand this correctly, this song is about political prisoners in the Ukraine. And Russia was supposed to win the Eurovision Song Contest. It's totally political. It depends on where it's held and the judges cheat and, you know, you name it. But Russia was upset because, you know, they invaded Ukraine. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
And then on top of that, Ukraine wins. So maybe the judges felt bad for Ukraine because Russia tried to bigfoot them. Let's go to live to our European bureau chief, Paul Coit, live in London. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Is my assessment accurate on that? Is that how it went down?
On the money. I mean, was it about 10 years ago you were with me and I introduced you to the Eurovision Song Contest?
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. One of the times I was in London, Paul and his family were nice enough to have me as a guest. And I stayed at their place and he goes, oh, we have to watch the Eurovision Song Contest. And I thought he was having a stroke. Yeah. I go, what is that? And he showed me this bizarre talent show that everybody in Europe stops to watch, right?
Yeah, and it's pretty much the singing version of war, is what it is. It's nothing to do. What you just heard, I mean, let's face it, that is supposed to be the greatest song in Europe. It didn't really sound like the greatest song in Europe, did it, really, to you?
No, it did not.
That's how it is. And every country in Europe, and every, I think they make up half of the countries I've never even heard of. And they all vote. They even have semi-finals now on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And then you have five countries that automatically will go straight into the final. Of course, United Kingdom are one of them. And the reason being is that we put more money up for the contest than anybody else. So you can pretty much pay your way into the final, which we do, and then always come in the bottom three because nobody likes us.
When was the last time you won?
1997. And it was Katrina and the Waves, and she's Canadian. So we can't really even take that one because she's not actually British.
Yeah, she's part of the kingdom. Yeah, she's part of the kingdom, right?
Well, yeah, kind of, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we use that, because, and also, the bizarre thing, especially Europe, but Australia also, since last year, take part in the Eurovision Song Contest. Work that one out. So, you know, if you fancy having a go, you know, come and join us.
I guess so. Yeah, if Australia's in, why can't we play?
Exactly. I mean, I think you should. But the thing is, to be honest with you, Adele could enter for Britain with the greatest song ever, and still she would come like last or second to last. Political voting, it's an absolute nightmare. But it's just the craziest night of anything you'll ever see. It's like 3 hours, and the voting goes on for like 2 hours. It's just ridiculous. But it's great.
And I saw one of the clips was some girl in like 6-inch heels trying to perform, I don't know from what country. And let's say Luxembourg, because it's one of my favorite words. And she spun around and fell. She just fell. She's completely
wet. I didn't see the fall.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a...
Because normally there's a...
Was that for you, the highlight of the show?
Well, no, but normally there's a couple of quack jobs that just... The performances are insane.
Well, everybody tries to come up with something different. Instead of the old songs, which would be usually in a foreign language, going, and all like this. And everybody goes, oh, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. Well, that's what Norway would give Sweden 12 points and Denmark would give them. See, the thing is, we don't have any friends that will give us 12 points, which is the maximum points. You know, you get all the Baltic countries to vote for each other, and but we're always left out on our own. That's why we need a friend in you to at least take part and give us...
Yeah, I mean, can't we illegally hack register somehow and say we're from, you know, some country nobody's paying attention to and just vote?
Listen, I think it's pretty simple. If you go to Eurovision and say, here's $1 billion, we would like to take part, they're going to welcome you with open arms. You know, you'd be able to have probably two songs in the competition.
$1 billion, all right.
$1 billion, or actually $1 gazillion.
Who hosts the event? Who's the MC?
It's usually a famous TV personality from that country. The host this year was the Swedish winner last year and a Swedish comedian who did it with him. They're okay. But the best part is when they have the voting and they go to some wacky disc jockey type in Latvia who tries to milk the moment where he just reads out the scores. And they'll always say, you know what, a wonderful show. We love you guys. And they try and talk in English thinking they're going to be superstars. and they just milk it for it. It just drives you bananas. It really does.
It's fantastic.
I like when Paul tries to do other accents.
Are they showing it? Are they showing it there?
No, you can only watch it. You can watch it streamed. You can watch it online. Nobody shows it here.
Right, yeah, some illegal stream of Eurovision.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, which, get it over there.
Yeah, which is the way we encourage it. All right, a couple other things. Happy birthday to the Queen.
Is it her birthday? Which one? She has, not which Queen, she has a couple of birthdays.
The Queen, was she, didn't she turn 90?
Is she 85, 86 now?
I thought she turned 90 last week. She turned 90.
Yeah, she's about that. Sounds about right.
All right, good to see her on top of that. And I would just...
Absolutely.
I would just wonder your comments on this. I want to play a clip of Donald Trump in reference to your country, our number one ally. Here's candidate Trump.
David Cameron has refused to retract what he said about your comments about Muslims. He says they were stupid, they were divisive, and they were wrong. What's your response?
Honestly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine.
But if you're president and he's the British Prime Minister...
It looks like we're not going to have a very good relationship. Who knows? I hope to have a good relationship with him. But it sounds like he's not willing to address the problem either.
Would you like David
Cameron...
When
it was brought up...
Would you like him to withdraw the particular comments that you're stupid, divisive, and wrong with your view about Muslims?
Well, number one, I'm not stupid, okay? I can tell you that right now. Just the opposite. Number two, in terms of divisive, I don't think I'm a divisive person. I'm a unifier. Unlike our president now, I'm a unifier.
Let me go live to Paul on that. Paul, your thoughts?
You know, listen, I really do honestly think is that if he actually goes a long way, our joint Eurovision Song Contest entry, I think, is not going to happen by the sound of it.
Yes.
I think we may have to go alone for a while and see how we go. Does he know what divisive actually means?
No, and I don't think he knows who David Cameron is.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But I do like the idea that his comment to Cameron's comments were, if he doesn't like me, I don't like him. So I guess we're not going to play.
Well, it's not like a thousand-year-old relationship.
Well, our number one ally. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
right. Are you just saying that because I'm on the phone?
Yes.
You wouldn't say that someone from... Yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You are in our top five, is what you're about to say to me. But you know what? A unifier, and which is interesting because pretty much what Cameron said about him has then unified people around David Cameron in this country. So that's one thing. But very interesting. Very interesting comments. We watch very closely from this side of the water.
Paul now trolls me. He'll call and leave me a message, and he goes, really? When are you going to tell me who the real candidate is? Then he'll laugh and he hangs up.
So. Are you getting tired of those calls?
No, they're fantastic. All right. Thank you, my friend. You're the best. It's Paul Coit. Do your big professional out live from London and whatever else you say.
Hold on. Am I European bureau chief? Because you sounded like you actually promoted
me. I expanded. Yeah, I promoted you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say on behalf of people from Europe, live from London, thank you and goodbye.
That's Paul Coit, I think. I'm not sure. It could have been one of those disc jockeys from Latvia.
Was he? He was trying to do the Latvian accent.
That was pure Latvian.
Completely.
Just the title of my last album. It's 9:51. Back with your news at 10. Before that, Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow!
30th anniversary of Top Gun.
No, that was the first movie I saw where I went into the theater and watched the movie and stayed to watch it again.
Because you had a Tom Cruise crush? Did you have a Cruise crush?
I liked Val Kilmer better.
Val Kilmer was like a hot deal back then?
Yeah.
As we wrap up another fine edition, again, I just want to apologize to the fine people and my fellow members at the White Eagle Golf Club in Naperville. I'm sorry for what I did there yesterday. And this weekend, where I played the worst two competitive rounds of my life.
Is that where the kids were heckling you?
Yeah, there were kids that were coming out of their house heckling, asking me to get off the golf course because they were making them cry because of the shots I was hitting.
Man.
I hit three balls out of bounds on the first hole and made a 10.
But you probably picked up on the back nine, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
It happens.
It was awful.
It was the wind. It was windy over the weekend.
Nick DiGilio doesn't even play golf came out because he thought it was a horror movie. Couple more texters on graduation. Oh, and I want to thank Bruce Turlett, my partner in this two-man tournament. Saddled with me. I mean, and he's a lawyer. I encouraged him to sue me. I said, you should sue me for this. You should sue me for malpractice. You should sue me for...
How was it malpractice?
Well, because I wasn't prepared for the event, clearly.
Oh, right. Well, so, he probably didn't play any better?
No, he played well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He played well, and he was decent about it the whole time. But you know, he went home to his wife, and he went, Cochran sucks. Texter 773, when it comes to college graduation gifts, $200 in weed and beer. 847 Texter, give them money, they can buy what they want. 773 Texter, even for a girl, get a toolkit. It's amazing how many times it gets used in their new place. 815 Texter, give what's comfortable, what you can afford. A good person will appreciate what's given. If they don't, they act with them.
And they better write thank you notes.
That is a nice touch. My mother is very strict about that.
Me too.
Yeah, my mom was too. Yeah.
Very important.
773, received an ID bracelet engraved with my name and graduation date on it from my grandmother. A nice memento of a special day. I think a personalized gift is the best. Money gets spent, but this type of gift remains. Love your show. It's nice.
See, that I like that idea. Maybe a nice piece of jewelry with an engraving.
What if you pay for a tattoo or they can put the school logo on it?
Oh, God, no. Her mother would kill me. She wouldn't get a tattoo anyway.
708 Texter, tools are a great gift for a college grad guy or girl. It's something they'll use. It's been a big hit in our family. Even though some kids have been out for 10 years, they still have the toolkit we gave them at graduation.
Okay, I'm not going to get her tools. I love you guys, but no.
I'm just telling you.
I'm thinking Apple gift card. That's nice, right?
Yeah. You can
unless she doesn't have it.
Put that towards a computer if you want.